This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samu Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Ayo Shote. I am standing in for GSW this morning on 30 Minutes with GSW. And this morning, I want us to discuss briefly on cultivating the mindset of a king. Cultivating the mindset of a king. Somebody sent something to me that I listened to. It was an interesting story. And it opened my mind to something that has been prevalent in the behavior of Christians that a lot of us do not notice. So it was about the King of Saudi Arabia that just started a golf. They were just about to launch a golf club, which is basically acres of lands designed for people to play golf. And he then invited some of the greatest golf players globally. And one of the men that he invited, just at that time, was one of the greatest. In fact, I think he was world leading, was a man called Arnold Palmer. So after, you know, they had gone through, inspected the thing, the opening ceremony had been done, the King of Saudi Arabia then invited all of them over for dinner. So during dinner, the king then turned to Arnold Palmer and then said, "I want to give you something. What do you want?" And of course, Arnold Palmer said he never prepared for it. He was not expecting anything from the king, so he didn't know what to say. And of course, this was the King of Saudi Arabia, one of the richest nations in the world, and he didn't know what to say. But he knew the king basically was waiting on him and was looking at him, just expecting him to talk. And then he then said, okay, what he wants is a club. Now in golf, a club, if somebody tells me they want a golf club, I most likely think that it is those metal sticks with a heavy head that is used to play golf. So then he told the king that, you know, what he wants is a club. And the king basically said, okay, it will get it to me. He said he went back to the States, and for, you know, weeks or up to a month, he did not hear from the king. So he assumed that, oh, the king had forgotten about it because he's very busy. After all, he's the king of a nation. Then I think after about 6 weeks from the time in Saudi Arabia, a mail came for him that had a red seal on it. And when he checked the address of the sender, it came from the king of Saudi Arabia. So he was wondering what this was, because what he was expecting was a box that had maybe a set of golf clubs in it. And then when he opened the letter, he basically saw a title deed for 500 acres of land that had already been designed and built as a golf club. Now, what he told the king was one thing. What was in his head when he spoke to the king was one thing. Basically, a set of golf clubs. But what the king understood it to mean was real estate. Now, the question I would like to ask, you know, somebody on this call is, how do you think as a Christian? How do you think as a Christian? How do you think as a Christian? What is the mindset that you operate with on a daily basis? Because the earthly king thought of the best thing he could give this man and interpreted his request to mean real estate, 500 acres, not only land, but already designed, because golf courses or golf clubs are designed specifically to make the game as difficult for players, because that is when players improve themselves. And the king basically got word and sent to him. Now, a lot of us are like Arnold Palmer. We live our lives hoping that we will please God. Hoping. We live our lives just trying to get by with the barest minimum because we're so afraid of being disappointed, we refuse to ask God for the impossible. You know, a lot of us, we live our lives, even when in our hearts we feel that we deserve something, we still do not want to stand our ground and insist on that. Rather, we are ready to accept the barest minimum. Now, kings think differently. When this king asked Anupama for what he wanted, the king was thinking of the best thing that he could give to Anupama. So when Anupama said, "I want a golf club," the king did not think of the mundane set of golf clubs that anybody could get. I mean, you could get second-hand ones, you could get brand new ones, the top-rate brand new ones, maybe at thousands of dollars. Anupama could afford it. So the king looked at Anupama and saw in him a contemporary like him and decided to get a gift that was befitting for him, which was a fully built 500-acre golf club. So how do you see yourself? What is the mindset that you operate with? Do you see yourself as a servant or as a slave? Because that's the way a lot of Christians see themselves. Even when they're making declarations, they're making declarations from a survival mentality. They're not making declarations from a kingly perspective. I am a king and this is my word and my word is law. Because the word of a king is law. So the Bible says that the Lord Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we are called to rule with him. So if we are called to rule with him, it means that we are the kings that Jesus is a king of. Now, when I was growing up, when I hear that word King of Kings and Lord of Lords, when we are taught in church, the religious mentality is that those kings and those lords that the Bible is talking about are maybe kings of the head or demons. The Holy Spirit was one that showed me that this, when the Bible says that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, those kings are not earthly kings. Those lords are not earthly lords. The Bible is talking about you and I, because we have been elevated from the position of servants to become sons of the Most High God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's why the Bible says we reign in heavenly places with him. Now, sometimes when we hear we reign in heavenly places with him, we think it is futuristic. We are looking towards the day when we leave this earth, we will then show up and then we'll be given a place on the throne on the right-hand side of the Father. But no, we reign there now. So if we reign there now, if we're seated there now, and then your life on earth does not reflect the life of a king. Your mindset on earth does not reflect the mindset of a king. It means that you either have a dual personality or you are living a lie. Because Apostle Peter said in the book of 1 Peter, we are a royal priesthood. Revelation chapter 5 says that Jesus has purchased for his God a kingdom of kings and priests. In Genesis chapter 1, when God created Adam, God gave him dominion over the earth. Adam lost it in Genesis chapter 3, but that was one of the things that Jesus came back to restore. So through the Lord Jesus, we reign in life. That's why the Bible describes us as the prolongment of his days on earth. So the mindset of a king is different from the mindset of a commoner. And you are not a commoner. So you must, as a matter of urgency, start to cultivate the mindset of a king. Because a king operates in authority. The authority that kings operate in is God-given, even earthly kings. They operate in God-given authority. Apostle Paul was writing, I think it was in the book of Romans, when he was writing about Christians, submitting themselves to earthly authority. And he says, there is no one that reigns on earth that God has not allowed to reign. But those are earthly kings. A king is bold. A king is bold because a king knows that when he speaks, his word is law, his domain. And that's why it's called the kingdom. It's a king's domain. His domain is designed to respond to his word and to carry out his request. So confidence is a characteristic of a kingly identity. Responsibility is another one. Kings do not live passively. They take charge. Kings take charge. With which area of your life are you living in? You're living passively or living reactively? In which area of your life are you waiting for something to happen before you start praying about it? In which area of your life are you making declarations and insisting that it is what you have envisaged, what you have imagined, what you have visioned that is happening rather than what the world is saying should happen? A king carries himself with dignity. Why? Because every single one of us are kings and we represent Christ on earth. We are the Christ that the world sees today. That's why Jesus was talking in Matthew chapter 5. He said, you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. He was preparing his followers, because when he spoke those words, he was speaking to his followers. He was not speaking to the general public. Neither was he speaking to the leaders, religious leaders. He was speaking to his followers. Says you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Says you can therefore not hide your light. You cannot put it on thy table. The sweetness that salt carries, you must bring it to bear. So not only do you operate in authority, not only do you operate in confidence, not only do you exercise your responsibility, you must be honorable and carry yourself with dignity because you represent Christ. You represent Christ. So how do you go about cultivating the mindset of a king? The first thing is that you must learn to renew your mind. Bible says in the book of Proverbs 23, it says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You are the sum total of the way you think. So if you do not learn to think for yourself, if you only operate by what others tell you, what they think you should do, then you will see that your life will not really reflect what God has planned for you. Now, does that mean that the Holy Spirit cannot send people to you? Yes, he can. But even when he sends people to you, he still expects you to come back to him and say, this person told me this because they say that is what you told them, and I'm here to confirm it so that I can execute it. Because what God desires is when you have a personal relationship with him, his kingship will rub off on you. That's why the Bible says that he has taken, I think it was Ezekiel that was saying that he has taken me out of the miry clay and he has set my feet upon the rock. And that rock is Christ. And Apostle Paul, writing in the book of Romans, said you must be transformed by the renewal of your mind. The way you think must change. The things you expose your mind to must change. Especially for those of us that have children. I have sat down and I've kind of did an anecdotal study of children from different backgrounds and different homes. One of the things that I've always said, children that are extremely successful or have a fantastic potential is the way they think. And most of the time, it either comes from the way their parents behave, that those children imbibe, or the children deciding that the way their parents behave, they do not want, and they decide to change. Well, everything comes from the mind. Whatever you are going to become, you first have to think of. So you must learn to think. Now, kings think differently. Kings do not see limitations. Kings do not moan. Kings are not consumers. Kings are producers. Nehemiah, when he was told about the condition of the wall of Jerusalem, he felt bad. He prayed about it. And the moment God gave him an opportunity in front of the king of Syria, the emperor of Syria, and he saw that Nehemiah was sad. He said, why are you sad? I have never seen you this sad. Immediately, Nehemiah saw that as a possibility, because as a cupbearer, he was not supposed to be sad in presence of that king, because that particular king, just like most Asian kings, was treated like a god. That's why if you read the book of Nehemiah, chapter 2, Bible says when the king said that, initially Nehemiah said he was afraid. He said a quick prayer, but then he then told the king what the issue was. He did not see a limitation at that time. He did not see the fact that the king noticed he was sad as something negative. He saw it as an opportunity to stand in the gap for his people. He saw a possibility. So kings think differently. So when you renew your mind, when working with the Holy Spirit, you must then start to exercise your ability to think beyond your present circumstances. Cultivating the mindset of a king. Cultivating the mindset of a king. So what are the key attributes of a king mindset? Vision is number one. Kings lead with vision. Bible says that where there's no vision, the people perish. Habakkuk said, I will stand me upon my watchtower and I will think of what I will say when I'm rebuked. And then he said to me, take the vision, write it upon table, so that he that reads it may run with it. Kings lead with vision. What is the vision for your life? What is the vision for your family? What is your vision for your spouse that you can share with them in a non-threatening way? To say, when I was thinking about it, this is where I see you going. This is what I think you can become. Have you thought about it? What can I do to help you? Or what is your own vision also? Does it align with what I've just told you? What is your vision for your children? Are you living your life from one day to the other? Do you sit down with your children? I don't care how old they are. A five-year-old child at that age might have a vision that is limited by his age, but there's nothing wrong in you sitting down with him and discussing his vision. My last daughter went from wanting to be a molecular biologist to becoming an ice cream seller in the UK, to becoming a lawyer, to becoming a politician, to becoming a diplomat. Today she's starting to become a diplomat. But that transition was a 10-year transition. Because I made sure I always said, what do you want to become? There is none of them. I tell them, this is what you must read. No, I do not do that. Because I know that I might have my own aspirations for their life. I know they are children of the Most High God. I know they know the Lord. I have introduced them to how to relate to the Holy Spirit, how to discuss with the Holy Spirit. So I know that they will have ideas from the Holy Spirit on what they are supposed to focus on in their future. So my own is to help them clarify it. So kings lead with vision. Kings rule with wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom with all you're getting, get understanding. How do you deal with situations? Your words, are they seasoned with salt? I know some people, when you advise them, they will not listen to you because they are set in their ways. Yeah, the Bible describes it. Ezekiel chapter 47 said that water that is coming from the temple, there's some places that are salty that the water will get to, and the river will not be able to bring healing there. But you are that river that brings life to a lot of things. People will come to you. By the time they leave you, have they been able to pick from the words you have spoken into their lives? Have they been able to bring people one or two nudges, one or two kernels that they can run with and use to build something? Have you planted things in the lives of people that will cause them to start to see the Holy Spirit as the enabler of the purpose and the vision of God for their lives? Courage is another attribute. You must be courageous. God told Joshua, Moses is not here. You depended on him. Yes. He said, but now I am looking at you. Be strong and be courageous. Because everything that you need to succeed, everything that you need to excel, I have given to you. The book of the law is with you. Don't let it depart. For us, we're even better than Joshua. We have the Holy Spirit. We speak in the language of angels. When we stand
as one anointed by the Most High God. So strength and courage is an attribute that a king must show. And a king must live with self-control. A king must lead himself with self-control. Discipline, that's what it means. You are disciplined. Yes, as a king, you most likely will do anything and nobody can call you to order, but you represent the King of Kings. So you must be disciplined. You must be disciplined in your behavior. You must be disciplined in your words. As you renew your mind, the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance the interests of your life that you have not brought under the control of your spirit. You apply control and you discipline yourself. And then a king must have faith. Faith is to trust in the promises of God. If you read the book of Hebrews chapter 11, you will see the way heroes of the Bible, heroes of faith, the way they were described, every single one of them, irrespective of their circumstances, trusted in the promises of God. You must be a man and a woman of faith. Like I said, Nehemiah was told about a ruined city, but what he saw when he got there was not the ruined walls, was the restoration, was a city with the walls restored. So you must learn to live and lead like a king. How do you do that in the few minutes that I have? I have just 9 minutes to go. You serve with humility because Jesus came to serve. And he told us. He said, if you must be a leader, you must first serve. Because true kings uplift others rather than dominate them. You uplift people. A practical example is, in that your team in the office, don't ever think that you are the smartest. Because if you think you are the smartest, you will not be able to uplift members of your team. Two, they will never be able to give you the best. The only ones that will attempt to give you the best are those that are looking for your favor. But when you step back and allow people to show their true competence and skill, in whatever situation, you will see that they will rise to the top. The other one is you must realize that you have authority in Christ. The Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 10 verse 19 was talking to the disciples even before he went to the cross. He said, behold, I give you power and authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and upon every power of the enemy. And he said, nothing shall by any means hurt us. Now imagine when he told them that, and imagine us now. When he told them they did not have the Holy Spirit, they only had to walk on the authority that Jesus gave them, and they went out without authority and they performed wonders. That word that Jesus gave them was your only authority, they operated, and they performed wonders. But now look at you. You have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. You are empowered by the same power that created the world. The Spirit of God that opened upon the face of the waters is the one that dwells in you. So you must know that it does not matter, even if a gun is at your head right now and you're about to pull the trigger, one thing must be clear in your heart, that you have power over the enemy. So you speak life always. You speak victory. You do not confess what you see. You speak what the Spirit of the Lord has revealed to you. And also, you exercise authority in Christ by living with spiritual authority. I've talked about discipline. When you live a disciplined lifestyle, you are living that disciplined lifestyle so that people can see that you represent the King of Kings. And you make sure that you enforce spiritual authority. Now, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22, said a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. So you must, as a king, right now, you must start to think from a legacy mindset. It's not about you and your survivor. It's not about you alone and your survivor. It's not about what you're going to eat tomorrow. It's not about the house rent for next year. When is it going to come? It's not about your mortgage payment. It's not about paying your credit card. It's not about setting up a business that will put you and your family in comfort. It's about building a legacy, because kings think generationally. Look at David. David wanted to build a temple for God. God said, don't build it for a man of blood, but your son will build it. David did not say, okay, God has said my son will build it, so let me just leave him to put the resources together. The Bible says that David said he had prepared everything that his son would need. Everything that his son would need to build that temple. Why? Because a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. What you are doing today, is it going to impact generations yet or more? In your family, even in the life of people that are around you, the lives of people that the Holy Spirit have brought around you so that you can impact their lives. Are you thinking generationally, or are you thinking about now? As a king, you must take responsibility for spiritual growth, for your finances, and for influence. Because you are called to influence the world. You are called to influence the world. If you look at it, most of the people that say, oh, repent, if you don't repent, you will die, you will go to hell. They never make an impact. Whoever accepts Christ through their message and decides to join them to worship will worship God in fear. Because what they are basically doing is they're using fear to teach. But when you sit down with someone and you influence their life positively towards knowing Jesus, towards identifying and recognizing him, towards yielding their lives totally and completely to him, and they see the same impact in your life, when they see that, when they come into the kingdom, they are more rooted and grounded. They have a good seed that is planted into good ground, and they grow and bring forth, you know, their own fruits in that ground. Why? Because as a leader, as a king, you are taking responsibility for your spiritual growth, the spiritual growth of those around you, for wealth. The wealth that the Lord is revealing to you, is putting in your hands, you're taking responsibility for it, and you're taking responsibility to influence other people. So like I said, you are called to be a king. And your mindset must be visionary, must be disciplined and faith-filled, but you must live in humility, you must exercise authority, and you must think generationally. So as I round up, I am asking you to commit to cultivating the mindset of a king from today. I am asking you to commit to walking with boldness and purpose in your everyday life, because the Lord is using you to impact lives. The Lord is using you to bring many into the knowledge of who he is. The Lord is using you to set many free. Isaiah chapter 61 is the blueprint for your life. You must execute that blueprint as a king. Your mindset should not be mindset of someone that thinks small. Because if an earthly king can give a man real estate when the man was expecting a piece of equipment, imagine what your Father in heaven can give to you when you expand your mind to think the way he thinks. As you go to your churches this morning, as you continue praying in the prevailing prayers, I speak into your life that the glory and the grace of the Most High God will cause men to recognize you for who you are. For you are one that is created to reign, for dominion to rule over this earth has been given to you. I decree that you reign in life and you walk in the divine authority that the Lord Jesus has revealed to you. For you are a royal priest to the holy nation, set apart to declare the glory of God. I decree that you walk in your God-given authority and that you move with bold confidence, knowing that you are chosen by the Lord himself. I decree that from this minute, those that have refused to take full responsibility start to take full responsibility for their life. They start to make decisions that align with the purpose that God has revealed to them. I decree that in anywhere that you go, you carry yourself with honor and you represent Jesus always. You are transformed daily by your mind that is renewed. Your thoughts align with God's vision. You run with the vision that he has revealed to you. You do not see limitations anymore, but you see possibilities because you have the mind of Christ. I decree that you live with clarity and divine direction. I decree that the wisdom of God manifests in your life daily, that you walk in understanding always. I decree that you are bold, you are strong, and you are fearless. I decree that self-control and focus on the purpose that God has revealed unto you becomes your very identity. I decree that by faith you speak into situations and in the lives of many, and you see a shift and a change, because that is what you are going to do. You see restoration, you see divine opportunities, you see the greater purpose of God unfolding. You do not see destruction, you do not see challenges. For you are a king, equipped to rule with wisdom, with strength, and with divine favor. Father, we thank you. We glorify your holy name. Thank you for what you have done in our lives. Thank you for the words that you have spoken that have unleashed our mind to do great things. You are worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have been blessed by this word, please shout,
hey. Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content and